Welcome to the podcast. I am photographer Sid Caesar.
And designer Dave Say.
And happy Monday.
Happy Monday. What Monday is it?
This is Monday, March 10th.
March 10th already.
2014. It was kind of snowing this morning, which kind of made me upset.
Kind of a dusting.
Sick of snow.
I'm a little sick of snow, too.
But it was warm over the weekend, which was kind of nice.
That's true. It was warmer.
Yes. So I dug that.
Yeah.
Did you do anything over the weekend?
I hung out with you guys.
That's right. We went and we had deep fried French toast.
Yeah, that blew my day for my fitness tracking.
Oh, it was so good. It's all I could think about. Like, just even like yesterday when we got up, and I was just like, you know, just it's not deep fried French toast. Because that's just so good. Like, everything you do now, it's just it's not deep fried French toast.
I estimate the breakfast that I had was about 1,800 calories when I just counted everything that was
you
in
don't
there.
Think of it that way. You think of it in terms of...
Well, so I have this bet going on with my cousin. Who's going to lose 10 pounds first? And we bet $100.
Wow.
So I got he's using that Fitbit tracker. So I got one too.
Yep.
And I've been playing around with
now,
it.
Now, is that the same thing that people wear on their wrists?
This one's different. They do make one called the Flex, I think. That's the one that got recalled because everyone was getting rashes from it. But this one is something that you just wear clipped. It's about like maybe like an inch or two long.
Okay.
And I have it clipped to my collar right now.
Yep. A little purple thing.
Yeah, and it basically is a pedometer. There's an accelerometer in it, so it tells when you bump up and down and move around.
Huh.
It can tell if you're just climbing stairs, you know, stuff like
How
that.
It's
because it just it's the movement's still going in one up.
Spying
basically,
on
but what is cool, it syncs with your wireless devices and it automatically uploads the data to an app on their website, the Fitbit website. And so it tells you like when you've been active and it estimates the number of calories you're burning based on that and based on your weight. And so it gives you a pretty good idea of how active you're being, and you can tie it in with that whole like you do 10,000 steps a day and you'll be on the way to good health.
That's awesome.
And most importantly, it tells me what my calorie deficit is if I'm tracking my food, which I've started to do again.
Yep.
The idea is like a pound of fat is like about 3,900 calories, something around that.
Mm-hmm.
And so what you want to do is you want to burn that fat, you need to be using more energy than you are consuming.
Mm-hmm.
So by logging the food, so if I know I eat about 2,500 calories a day and I've actually used through this Fitbit tracking thing that tells me like I've used 3,500 calories a day by running around a lot, that means I have a calorie deficit of about 1,000 calories and more or less, that's like a third of a pound of fat.
Yeah.
So if I do that over a period of weeks, then the weight should melt away.
Melt away.
Yeah. And I've done it once before, all manually. This is like, you know, maybe 10 years ago. And it actually does work. But this is easier. I'm surprised that I'm actually kind of into it because I thought the app would suck.
I wonder if there are people running around that have like all kinds of like those
like
little,
all of them.
Yeah. Like there's a Fitbit and then they have like that one that records like takes pictures every like 30 seconds or something of your life. Yeah, there's a whole bunch of those. Like if you do like a Kickstarter for that type of thing, like there's at least 50. I've read about 50 or 60 of them, and they're like these little square things. Huh. And then like every 30, it's like you can set the intervals, and it like every 3 seconds or some strange thing, it takes these little tiny pictures, and then you can download them, and it'll make these like stop motion videos over the year. But I wonder if there's somebody out there that has, you know, like that and that and that. Like, he's just completely, he looks like Mr. T with, like, all this stuff around his neck.
That would be cool.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. No, it wouldn't be cool. That'd be pretty nerdy.
In Neil Stephenson's book, Snow Crash, there's a character in there that basically is doing that. He's a walking recording device. And everyone thinks these guys are the lamest. Yeah, they're like news stringers. They're looking for news they can upload to the net and then make a buck off of it.
Yep.
And so they've got cameras, they've got recording devices and stuff all over them. They call them gargoyles in the book.
Huh.
And they were not cool.
I used to have a little, it was a E3 promo. It was like a Tamagotchi, but it was a Pikachu. And he had a little motion sensor in it. And I used to put it on my shoe. And at the end of every day, depending on how much you walked, it would build up his electricity, and then you could charge him up and feed him.
Oh, yeah?
And then the Nintendo 3DS has one of those in it, too. And if you leave it on, it monitors your steps, and then it would turn it into things like you could get special coins in Animal Crossing.
Sounds much cooler. Why am I doing that?
See? Get a 3DS.
Then you just strap the whole thing to your body.
Just put it in your back pocket.
That's not going to work. It'll just crack right in half as soon as my massive bulk just descends upon its fragile screen. And it's got two screens, so like double the
crunch.
You'd
break both of them. Yep. I don't have my 3DS anymore. I traded it away.
Traded it away. You gave away your Animal Crossing town.
I did.
You abandoned.
And you know what I did?
You abandoned all the animals.
I didn't even like go in and delete the town. I was just like, I haven't played it in 2 months. I'm just going to send it off to somebody new, and they're going to turn it on and be like, what is this whole village? And they're going to be like, who are you?
Who were you?
Awesome.
Who were you?
Yeah. So I had to get rid of it. It was, and I'm not much of a, like, I say this every time I buy a stupid handheld console, but I'm not a handheld gamer. Like, I hardly ever play it.
Except when you play it all the time.
Except when Animal Crossing. That's why I bought the original DS. Was the minute I was like, I have to have Animal Crossing. So I've told Sarah the next time I start talking about the next Animal Crossing game and whatever, Mike, just punch me in the throat so that I don't go out and get it. Because I don't need it. Because it's like, why I constantly get a new new handheld and the Animal Crossing. And I do the exact same thing every time. Like, all right, here we go. We're going to start and we're going to do the exact same stuff.
Right.
Only it's just a period of 4 or 5 years in between. Like, no. No,
it's kind of nice to lose yourself in a world every once in a while.
I've been
playing Minecraft for the first time in the past couple of weeks. I've been kind of getting sucked into it.
Yeah.
Like on Saturday night, I think I played 8 hours straight and not realizing. I was thinking, oh, it's 5 a.m. No, it's 6 a.m. with the.
No.
Because of the
time change.
Oh. Yeah, so I just totally yelled into the microphone, clipped all my levels.
They are. I've been like that with Grand Theft Auto Online. I'll just go in.
It's fun.
It's just one of those things where I get obsessed with bounty hunting, which is just like if you can place bounties on other online players, and it turns their little dots turn red, and then I just hunt them down for the money. You kill them and you get the bounty money.
Are you saying you're chasing the red dot?
I am totally chasing the red dot, and that can get wicked involved. Like I was playing. I don't know. It was like last weekend. Sarah slept in late, and I got up early, and like next thing I knew, it was like 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and I had been playing since like 7 o'clock in the morning. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh.
Yeah.
I had a lot of money, and I had a lot of people mad at me because I would just chase after them every time they got a bounty. And
So you were that guy.
I'm that guy. I'm in my bounty hunter truck. I've got a whole, like, it's awesome.
Did you put the Sin Caesar logo on the side of it?
No, I didn't. But it's like this big Jeep thing, and it looks like my Jeep, kind of. It's red.
Yeah, you should make an alternative logo for worlds like that. Yeah, it's moving that way. I'm kind of like that with MMORPGs.
Yeah.
When a new one comes out that seems like it has interesting mechanics to it, then I'll play it for a while and get sucked into it.
So are you still on the fence about that new South Park game?
I don't feel the need to play it. It's
really?
Kind of like what you're saying. You know, I was watching on Twitch TV, which is this game video streaming service. What it allows you to do is, as you're playing your game, if you have Twitch support in the game or if you installed it on your PC, it will record what you're playing, and if you have a webcam, it'll show a picture of you as you're playing it, like in the corner. And there's a whole bunch of people that do this. They stream their video game playing, and it's you see a lot of competitive esports type people, like people are playing Counter-Strike or Call of Duty, type games in their own team play.
Yep.
And it's cool because you can see how how scary good they are,
right?
Or if they're botting or not. Cheating by using programs to improve their aim and stuff like that.
Aimbot.
But there's a bunch of people playing, those online card games like Blizzard's Hearthstone, which is I've never played any of these collectible card games.
Oh, like Magic and stuff?
Yeah, like Magic. It's kind of like a Magic type game, I guess. It's a card game that's based on the Blizzard universe.
Okay.
Probably Warcraft. Yeah, so I was watching all these millennials play the South Park game Stick of Truth.
Yep,
and it was kind of funny. It was fun. I got my fix from that. I'll have to when it goes on sale. I'll probably will buy it for $60. Don't feel like doing that. And plus, it just takes so much time, and I feel so under the gun with so many projects, like my own personal projects, and I have more business projects going on at the same time than I usually have. So I have been having to be more careful about my time and maintaining my energy and all those tedious things. I really just wish I could just like sit around my underwear and play games, but it's going to take more work to get to that point, that magic tipping point, you know, when nothing matters. And like, you know, money is coming in from the passive income that's set up through products that I'm selling online.
Mm-hmm.
You know, ideally, I'd be like that story about that woman who died 6 years ago. Did you hear about that?
No.
There was some woman who had set up all her life through automatic bill payments, and she had some arrangements with her neighbors to mow the lawn and stuff like that. And her mortgage eventually ran. She stopped paying her mortgage because she was dead, and the money in her account ran out. So they finally sent some people over, and they found the mummified corpse of her body in the backseat of her car. So they don't know what happened, but the online bill paying stuff
just kept going.
It just kept going, I kind of want that, except money coming in, and so I could be covered with Cheeto dust on my couch, playing video games if I felt like it, or trekking through the wilds of darkest Peru or something like that on a search for Paddington's aunt,
and just gathering.
Yeah.
Money.
Yeah.
Did you see they're coming out with a Paddington movie?
Really?
Yeah. With a CG.
Is Stephen Fry in it?
No.
He should be.
It's voiced by Colin Firth.
Oh.
And it's going to be a CG bear.
Well, how else would you do?
I don't know.
Paddington.
You know what I would want to see? I would pay money to go see a movie version of the stop motion Paddington that they used to do when I was growing up. They used to have. He was fantastic because he was a little 3D Paddington, and he stopped motion, and he was fully fleshed out. But then the rest of the characters were all pieces of paper that somebody had drawn, and it was animated. It was just fantastic. It was really well done. And Paddington had this perfect voice.
Yeah.
And it was always great when you would watch him eat, like, that jam stuff that he had, because it would be like
marmalade.
Orange marmalade. Stop motion thing, so he'd get it all over his fur, and he'd, like, it was just fantastic. It was so well done.
He was a very sticky bear.
Yes. So I would like to see, and you can't tell me that. I mean, they can't do it because they've done the Lego movie, and the Lego movie is, what, CG, but it looks like Legos?
I haven't seen the Lego movie.
We need to go see the Lego movie. Everybody keeps saying how amazing it is.
Yeah, I need to add that to my list of things.
But so I saw that, and it made me kind of shed a tear a little bit. And then right after that, I saw the trailer for the new Annie movie, and that completely made me shed tears because that's another movie that doesn't need a remake.
I never saw the original.
Oh, it's good. You never saw the original?
I remember there's a song that was very popular for a while, wasn't it? Back in the mid-80s?
Yeah. But yeah, I the 80s one was fantastic. Little Aileen Quinn. Like, she just went on to be Annie for the rest of her life.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And just Punjab.
I don't,
Punjab, Daddy Warbucks' servant.
No idea what you're talking about.
Which, of course, he's not in the new movie because nowadays we're so politically correct about everything. You can't have a guy in a turban being a servant, so... Punjab, and he had magical powers.
That's kind of too bad.
Isn't it?
I guess what would you replace it with? Well, I guess his magical powers could not. They're not allowed to come from just being Indian,
right? Exactly.
It'd be like
he'd have to, study yoga, and
you need to
be on an all natural diet. And,
yeah, it has to be a character based stereotype, not a race based stereotype.
Which is why they should just leave him alone. Don't do remakes. Like we watched. Sarah picked out RoboCop last night.
Yeah.
And I was just watching it, and I'm like, and she thought it was like she thought it was perfectly paced.
It's a good movie.
Yeah it is. Yeah. She was just like, wow, because this is the second time. She saw it once before, a couple of years ago, and it was really the first time she'd seen it. So she was watching it again, and she was like, this is actually really perfectly paced. And then she kept talking about Peter Weller, and she was like, he's kind of strangely attractive.
Peter Weller is like that. He has this weird, almost... Is it his eyes and brow?
Something. Yeah, it's got to be the brow. It's like slightly Cro-Magnon brow forming. Or
there's something
skull is
artificial
shaped.
About him. Yeah. He has like a head that's sculpted like a mannequin.
Yeah.
That's probably because of the Max Headroom Association I have.
Oh.
Wasn't he Max Headroom?
No, wait. That was Matt Frewer.
Oh, who Peter Weller was? Oh, he was Buckaroo Banzai, wasn't
yes,
he?
Yes, he was Buckaroo Banzai. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm surprised. In this day and age of CG, I'm surprised they haven't tried to relaunch Max Headroom.
Or have it's they? Almost like they can't recreate that fake look that they had.
Oh,
I'm sure they.
He needs a comeback.
There's been little murmurs about that.
I would love to see I'm sure Matt Frewer really loved it.
There was some sort of revival in the UK of Max Headroom. I think Max Headroom originally is a British creation.
Yes,
too,
right? I think so.
And there was like some advertising campaign where he made a comeback. But yeah,
I loved Max Headroom.
Yeah.
He was great. that was, I mean, just what a perfect 80s.
Yeah. What would you have now? Everything's like covered with
I don't even
chia
know.
Seeds.
Exactly. So that's
chia
why
seeds,
I, that was why I didn't think
nature,
I should.
Green.
It was such, it was just like, you don't need to make RoboCop because it just, it fits. And the fact that he's all big and clunky and just like the definition of like 80s science fiction, like he's just this big, you know, and like in the new one, they're trying to,
I want to see the new one just to compare.
I don't, it. But why? It doesn't even, there's been, I can't even think of, there's been all.
Did you go, you went and saw the last Indiana Jones movie, right?
Yeah.
You knew it was going to suck, didn't you?
No. You know what? I got blindsided on that one.
You did, really?
Yes, because I had seen interviews with Spielberg, and he specifically stated that they were going back to the way that they filmed the original, that they were going to rely primarily on sets, and that the film stock and the lighting was going to be as close to the original as possible so that it didn't feel like you were skipping three generations into a, you know, a movie that was being made currently.
And
he, like, he totally lied. Like, the minute you, like, the minute you see them all on stage for the first time, you can tell, like, the lighting is just so polished that it's like, it's just, it's not right. Like, it's not right at all. Like, you get, even when the outside scenes, it's like, ah. Yeah, I was so cheated. And then, like,
there was that monkey swinging scene, too, right?
God,
that, then, that was the big.
There was a scene in that whole monkey thing where the kid's swinging across the vines with the monkeys and he's doing, like, the Tarzan yell.
Yeah.
And then it cuts and there's this action scene where these like, little boats on wheels are driving alongside this cliff. And it looked so much like they just. It was like the scene hadn't been finished and they just pushed it as they got as much done as possible. It ruined it. I mean, it just, you want to talk about like days where I just completely got brokenhearted. But the minute for me, I was like, okay, I'm dealing with this, the whole intro of this, the movie. And I'm a little upset, but I can deal with it. And then that whole thing with the refrigerator happens and I'm just like, I'm done. I'm done. I shouldn't have come to this movie.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry.
Yeah, thanks. But
that's why I want to see RoboCop. RoboCop.
I don't want to see it for that very reason.
I guess I'm interested to see how someone takes a beloved property like RoboCop
and poops all over it
and tries to do something. I'm assuming that they wanted to do it. I'm assuming that no one put a gun to the guy's head.
No. This the only reason why Hollywood keeps doing this is because they're like, we can make all kinds of money off of a new generation that's never seen the original.
Possibly, but the director they have to get to, hopefully that director is into it. Who's the director for the new RoboCop?
I don't care. I don't even know.
This could be an up-and-coming director. You don't care about up-and-coming talent who would dare to take an original property like this and say, like, you know, I wonder if I can put my own mark on this.
No.
I wonder if I can make a RoboCop for my generation.
No. I wonder if they said that, like, when Fincher did Alien 3. Because he was a up-and-coming, and I think that was his first flick.
Yeah, didn't.
And it turned out to be a mess because they treated him like crap.
Right. That's an interesting story you hear over and over again about how there's up-and-coming directors and they're giving a big project to direct. Yeah. And, you know the studio system or the executives, they kind of push him around. The guy, because he's like new to the whole thing, he lets him. And then what happens is a terrible movie comes out.
Yeah, it's interesting. The Alien quadrilogy or trilogy, whatever, the Blu-ray box set, which is basically taking all the content from the DVD version with slight upgrades. The cool thing about that is they have the original theatrical version of Alien 3 that Fincher did.
Yeah.
And then they got a hold of his, because he completely written that movie off. Like, he has nothing to do with it anymore. But they found like his build notes, and they tried to take the footage that was cut and integrate it, and they recut the movie.
Huh.
And they actually went so far as for the Blu-ray release, they didn't do it for the DVD release, but for the Blu-ray release, they actually went back to the actors. And they redubbed the dialogue so that it doesn't sound like a test, you know, like cut test footage.
Right.
And it was good. Like, it fleshes out a lot more stuff. But the best thing is that they have these extensive documentaries, and it shows him like on set, just like looking like pissed off, but at the same time completely like deflated, because these people that are like his assistants, like at night after they close down for the night, they're like going off to the movie theater, and they're calling up like these bigwigs. And they're like telling the assistants what to do to like throw the movie in the direction that they want it to be, rather than the direction that Fincher wants it to be.
Yeah.
And then you see like Fincher finding out, and he's just like, what? He's like, what am I gonna, like, how, what, you know? And they show him on set, and he's like, he's just like, you know, those effing guys, and like he's just, it's like he's trapped into making this movie now for people that are just like totally undermining him every minute. It was just like, wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
And not only that, but it's like, this is the first movie he's directing.
Yeah.
And it's like one of these big franchise things, and he's just like, it's awesome. It's crazy.
Yeah. That's why.
So I welcome new directors. I just wish that they could come in with their own ideas rather than rehab. I don't know. But then again, you know, like
if you had the opportunity, let's say you were an up and coming film director and you had the opportunity to like experience the system at its most, you're drawn out.
Yeah.
I mean, like that's a risk you would have to kind of think about taking.
Yeah.
I mean, if you, especially if you were like shooting $1,000 indie films.
Right.
You know, was he a commercial director before?
He was doing commercials.
Yeah. You know, so that's the next step.
Yeah.
You know, so either you take your marbles and go home and like you hold on to your indie cred or whatever.
Yeah.
But if he's a commercials photographer, he already was kind of halfway into the, I'm doing this for money.
Yep.
Yeah, but then to do something that if you had the opportunity to something that could make a huge cultural impact, although, in my case, I would not want to do someone else's IP, someone else's intellectual property. I would want to do my own thing, but not everyone thinks like that.
Right.
You know, some people say, I just want to be an extra in the Firefly universe. Or I just want to be a character there. Or I want to, that's good enough, for people. But then to create something that's yours.
It's just scary. And there hasn't been many remakes that, I can't really think of many. The Solaris remake that.
That was a remake?
Yeah, from the 60s. But the one that, what's his name? Steven Soderbergh and James Cameron did. I actually really like that. But I can't think of very many remakes that I've seen that I've thought have been better than the original.
Yeah.
I can't think of any. I don't know. There's probably one or two that I...
Battlestar Galactica,
which
you've never seen.
That. No, I don't know.
Because you have some unfathomable resistance to it.
Every once in a while, I just completely miss the boat on things that people think I should like Battlestar Galactica. I'm not the biggest Star Trek fan in the world.
Yeah.
I don't know.
What are you good for, Sid?
Exactly, right? Just
it's like me and Star Blazers. I can't stand the original Star Blazers. Even when I was a kid, I liked the ships, idea of the ships, but I couldn't watch the cartoon.
Yeah.
I was probably just a little bit too old for it.
Huh.
But now I'm like a huge space.
Yeah,
like,
you're a big Yamato fan.
Yeah, the new reboot is amazing.
Right.
Amazing.
The remake.
Yeah, it's a remake.
Yeah.
It's like it's regarded as one of the best remakes ever.
Yep.
Huh. I think we should take this moment for a sponsor break.
Oh, absolutely.
Sponsor break. We want to just mention Kenta Koga, who's our spiritual sponsor, I think, of the podcast. Kenta Koga is an area... how would you describe Kenta Koga?
I don't know. How do you describe Kenta Koga? We need to get him in here to describe himself.
Is he undescribable? We should. Yeah.
All I know is he's got a big hydraulic thing in his garage.
He has a hydraulic lift.
Cars, which is really cool.
He's technically adept. He's involved with one of the local Linux user groups and has been for a long time.
Yep.
For a while, he was the cornerstone of the social media scene in Nashua, New Hampshire. Mm.
With the tweet-ups.
With the tweet-ups, he and...
he's good at Gears of War.
Yeah, his brother, Jiro, also.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
I understand he's been learning to weld recently.
Really?
Kenta has been.
We need to get him on. Kenta, tell us when you can come on the show.
Oh, we already know. We just have to find a time when he can
get in
with
here.
Us. Right. Or we try the mobile podcast.
Little mobile setup. We should try to do that.
Yeah, yeah. So that's the Kenta Koga Minute. Thank you, Kenta, for your continued support.
Awesome.
This is good practice. Someday we might have sponsors.
Yes.
So that was the first time.
Yes. All right. So getting away from movies and video games.
We've got about like 5 minutes left.
All right. So what have I got going on?
What do you got going on?
Sarah and I are going to be taking a vacation to Washington, D.C. In a couple of weeks.
Our nation's capital.
We've been talking about wanting to go to all the museums and stuff for a really long time, and we haven't been able to do it. So finally, Sarah was just like, we're going to do it. We're going to go.
Bam.
I want to go mainly because the Smithsonian... Jim Henson had, a bunch of original Muppets have been donated to their permanent collection.
Oh, really?
And they're going to be having them on display.
Yeah.
I want to go see them. I want to bring Muppet Sid. I want to see if I can take pictures of him looking at them or something like that.
Huh.
And it's also our first time using Airbnb. So we just this morning, just before we started recording this, I did whatever I signed up and locked in for a place that's in Washington D.C. itself, and it's a bottom apartment or something that somebody owns in their house. It's Airbnb is fantastic. Yeah. It seems fantastic.
Airbnb is a way for you to use an online service to rent out a space you have. You can do rooms. You can do whole places. So it democratizes the hospitality industry. The room and board industry.
Yeah.
In a way that's pretty cool using the internet.
Yeah, and this is great. It's like a whole basement furnished apartment, and we're going to be there from like Sunday night to Thursday night. And it's got its own private entrance, and it's like you don't have to interact with the people if you don't want. And it's great. It's like $62 a night.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, you can find some good deals.
Yeah, and it's like there's a washer and dryer, and it's just really, really cool. And it's like a nice little like young couple that own this house.
Yeah,
you know? So it's like and you used it for when you went to Austin, right?
Yeah, we did our code retreat in Austin, which is it was somewhat between here on the East Coast and my cousin on the West Coast who I was working with, and so we got a place for I think it was like $80 or $90 a night.
Yeah,
for the both of us, a whole small condo.
Yep.
Really nicely appointed, right on the light rail line into Austin.
Yep.
It was good.
Yeah.
And,
super cheap.
Yeah. So that'll be kind of nice. I'm not looking forward to the however long it's going to take to drive down there, but we're going to like leave early, early, early on a Sunday morning.
Nice.
And so that's coming up. I'm looking forward to that. What else? The New Hampton School as part of their New Hampshire Projects Week. I had a class full of kids come and visit me at the studio last Wednesday. There was about 9 of them, plus the chaperone and the teacher. So it was about 10 or 11 people.
Yeah.
This particular group just picked photography. So we sort of just kind of talked shop for a while. And I did a really quick sort of introduction stuff. And then we set some lights up here. And in the second half in the afternoon, I sort of made them the shooters. And I said, okay, you guys set up your own shoots. And I'll be your technical advisor. And you tell me what you want. And we'll try to light everything the way you want it and stuff.
Yeah. Live simulation.
So that was good. It was exhausting. I think I stayed home the next day because I was just tired trying to entertain 10 people all day. It's just like, woo.
Yeah.
So that was kind of cool. What else I've got? I am in the process of submitting some test shots and initial reaction write up about that Petzval lens that Lomography sent to me.
Oh yeah, that's great.
I'm doing I'm doing another shoot this afternoon, and then this evening I'm going to send some process shots in. And I think they sent me a questionnaire asking me what I think about it. And blah 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 blah.
Right.
So I'll send that in. That's pretty much it. I'm just waiting for a PlayStation 3 to show up.
Mm-hmm.
I traded my 3DS for PlayStation 3 so I can play The Last of Us, which is that cool post-apocalyptic game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm resisting still.
You'll have to come over and watch me play it a little bit just to see.
That's true.
You know, hang out. We'll pop some popcorn and...
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. I need to see if I can resurrect that old PC I have.
Yes.
My previous workstation, which I'm not using at all. And so you can finally watch Flash movies at home. And maybe there's some PC games we can play.
Yeah.
I've decided that I'm going, hog, PC gamer. Because this is the longest continuation of my gaming roots.
Yep.
It started with PC games. It wasn't a console for me. You know, like, I'm too old for that, I guess.
Yep.
Although, I'm just old enough to remember the Atari 2600 when it was new and exciting. But I just never had one. So all my
you never had a 2600?
No. It was like $200 in 1976. Oh. Yeah, so it was like a lot of money.
I should dig mine out and let you borrow it.
Yeah,
make RF adapters anymore.
I've played them. You know, so it's no big deal. And you can play them in
emulation.
So. But yeah, but PC games or computer games, that's where my heart is.
Yeah.
So I guess that's it.
We didn't get to cover other stuff that you've been up to.
Yeah, there's not really a lot. I just got some stuff. I got a new USB mic because I'm going to be in an upcoming episode of Aaron Mankey and Dave Kalo's homework podcast.
Oh.
I know Aaron because he does stationery. He makes stationery. I got a bunch of his cards last time I was down there. These really nice thick index cards.
Yep.
And so I work at home, too. So that's something we can talk about. Oh. But I guess we're out of time.
Oh, my goodness. All right. So until next week, this is Photographer Sid Caesar.
I'm designer Dave Say.
And we will see you next week. next Wednesday. If we can stick to publishing stuff on time, because Sid keeps forgetting to do the show notes and all that junk. Michael provided, music provided by Michael Bellar and the Ezra's Ensemble. Visit him at michaelbellar.com. And we will see everybody next week.
Maybe.
Get the code.